Blesser's broke. Amen. It's broke down. Appreciate them singing for us. And they put Maggie right to work. Amen. Day number one up here. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter number three. Nehemiah chapter three. And let's stand together. We'll maybe read our one verse. Maybe read a couple verses from Nehemiah chapter eight. And I'm excited to preach to you tonight. Amen. Amen. God answers prayer. I was praying, Lord, don't let Brother Philbeck come tonight. Don't let him come tonight. And he ain't here tonight. And I get to be. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 3, you said, we wasn't praying that. We want Philbeck. We want Philbeck. We want Philbeck. Well, he ain't here. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 26. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelled in Ophel, under the place over against the water gate toward the east, and the tower that lieth out. Look over in Nehemiah chapter number 8. We reference this in the end of the message. I want to dive into chapter number 8 tonight. If the Lord will help us, I'll spend maybe 6 or 7 minutes rehearsing. Amen. The first couple points in introduction, then we'll get right into chapter number 8. But the Bible said, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and gives a list of men that are standing beside him on the right side and on the left side. Verse number 5 said, and Ezra opened the book of the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And I say tonight, he is the great God. He is the great God. You say, how do you know that? I know it the same way Ezra knew it. I know it because the Word of God says so. Amen. No doubt about it. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And verse number 7 begins with a list of names of men who are Levites. The Bible said in the middle of verse 7, cause the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, he taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Notice how that ended. They leave joyful because they had understood the words. What words? The words of God. The word of God. The words in the law of God. What God had penned down. What God had said. When they began to understand that, amen, what had been declared to them, when they began to understand it, they was able to go home with joy in their hearts. Now, I want us to go home with joy in our hearts tonight, don't you? Amen. You say, what's got to happen? Somebody got to understand what's being declared. And we want to try to do that tonight, if the Lord be our helper, preaching again on the Watergate. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, send some help now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've been studying quickly. Amen. We haven't been studying it quickly, but quickly, let me tell you what we've been studying. The gates of Nehemiah chapter number 3. We've been dealing with this chapter and the gates that are being detailed and discussed and repaired and built in regards to the city of Jerusalem being the presence of the Lord. These gates are the entryway and the exits there in and out of the city of God. And so we've been dealing with the thought of gateways to the presence of God. How that these 10 gates that are mentioned in Nehemiah chapter number 3, the days of Nehemiah, how these 10 gates represent 10 aspects of our own spiritual life. Our own walk with God, our enjoyment in the presence of God must involve some very specific things. Amen. On this side of eternity, we'll see in several weeks from now and on the other side of eternity. And so as we consider these gateways, the presence of God, we have been going through just one by one, beginning in verse number 1, gate number 1, the sheep gate. How that it represents salvation's plan and the price that Jesus paid. And it represents the cross upon which Jesus died. And what a blessing it is to be saved. That's the starting line. That's where everything begins. If you don't start at the sheep gate, then none of the others really mean anything. Amen. Because salvation is where it all begins. And so we move from the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the gate of the fountain. And now we're on gate number 7 out of the 10, which is known as the water gate. And I said at the end of service this morning, some of you old timers think you know all there is to know about Watergate and Richard Nixon and all of that. We're not talking about, amen, that Watergate and cassettes and impeachments and things of that nature. Amen. And we give the warning, be careful mixing up your political history and your Bible history. Amen. Amen. There's a Watergate long before there's a Watergate. That's what I'm trying to say. And the Watergate here was a entry and exit position in the city of Jerusalem that was used in the bringing in and carrying of water from the Gihon Springs and the Fountain Gate into the city that would be stored and eventually used in the temple worship there in the holy city of God. And it is not moving water or living water, as we've seen in the fountain gate representing the Spirit of God. This would be stored and stilled water that represents the Word of God. And we gave you several references this morning about the Word of God being likened unto that of water. In Ephesians 5:26, Jesus Christ, the promise is made that He will sanctify it and cleanse His church by the washing of the water by the Word. And so the Word of God, what water is does physically for our cleansing, the Word of God is water to our spiritual life. Amen. To keep us sanctified and to keep us cleansed. Jesus said in John 15:3, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken. Psalm 119 verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Amen. How's he going to cleanse himself? How's he going to cleanse his spiritual direction? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so over and over in the word of God, we find that it is likening itself to that of still water. And we have that in the water gate. And so the water gate represents the Word of God in specific terms. It represents our relationship to the Word of God. We need the Word of God to be a great part of our life if we're going to enter in and enjoy it, the very presence of the Lord God that we claim to know. Amen. You'll never know anything more about God than what you know through His Word. Amen. I believe in knowing God personally, but everything I personally know about God, amen, has been taught to me of the Holy Ghost by the Word of God. Amen. It's been men of God taking the Word of God and showing me God through the pages of Holy Writ. And we're thankful tonight for the ministry of the Word of God in our life. Amen. It brought conviction to us one day. And ultimately, if you're saved tonight, it is the Word of God that empowered itself in your life as the seed of God and produced the new birth in your life, the Spirit of God aiding that and applying that. Amen. To us. And so we was convicted and we were converted. And thank God we are consecrated even to this very night by the Word of God and the importance that it plays in our spiritual lives. And so many people in this hour, I'm afraid, are not in tune to the Watergate, that representation of the Word of God in our lives. And it's showing in our day and in our hour in so many ways. People try to worship God without the Word. Amen. But you cannot worship the Lord without the Word. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Do you remember in John chapter number 4 and Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well? Amen. He made a statement to her. He said, now the Father is seeking worshipers. Amen. Is seeking that men would worship Him. And Jesus said, if you're really ever going to truly worship God, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. What is truth? Jesus said in His high priestly prayer, John 17, amen, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so we must worship God, and there's an element of the Word of God in our relationship to God's Word that is required for us to truly and indeed worship God in a right way. And thank God for His Word and how it stirs us to worship and teaches us to worship and magnifies the God that we are to worship this very night. And so the Watergate, what a picture we find here of the Word of God. And we said, number one, this morning we drew your attention to the repair that was unneeded at the Watergate. How that the Watergate is the only one that is said of it, or not said of it, that it either needed to be builded or needed to be repaired. All these other gates, we know from Nehemiah in chapter number 2, how that each of these gates had been destroyed. The walls had been pulled down and the gates had been set on fire. And there was great need for a repair work or a building work to take place on these other 9 gates. But in the verse we read tonight, there is no mention of it having needed to be repaired. And it speaks of the preservation of the Word of God. It speaks of the perfection of God's Word, that though the enemy, amen, hates God and hates the people of God and the work of God, amen, the Word of God liveth and abideth forever, and His truth, amen, we have promised, endures to all generations. And so there's no need to repair the Word of God tonight. Amen. Thank God we have God's Word. We know God's Word. We hear God's Word. Amen. This truth endures tonight all the way to this generation. And it needs no repair. It doesn't need us adding our opinion and our thoughts. It doesn't need manipulated or changed to fit the culture and the society. Oh no, friend. God has pinned down and given by inspiration, amen, everything He wants us to know through His Word. And what God said, God meant, and meant what He said. Amen. And so quit fooling around with the Word of God. It doesn't need our repair. We said this morning, amen, we don't need to repair the Word of God. We need the Word of God to repair us. And thank God it is doing a repairing work in my life. And I pray if you're a child of God, it is doing a repairing work in your life as well. Amen. Well, I'm about at the end of my 6 minutes here to rehash, amen, what we preached this morning. Notice the remnant that was unrelenting at the Watergate. I ain't got time to go into all of this again, but we studied the methonyms that are mentioned. how that they used to be the Gibeonites that had been brought into the nation of the children of Israel. They had tried to get in by deception. Amen. Fear had gripped their heart, and they tried to deceive Joshua and the children of Israel. How that God exposed their deception and their trickery. And they were confronted upon that, and upon being confronted, they were humbled, and they sincerely sought the mercy and the grace that only God could give. And Joshua extended that mercy to them, a bunch of Gentile Canaanites. Amen. People who deserve the judgment of God had mercy shown unto them. Amen. Sounds like salvation, doesn't it, tonight? Amen. Ain't you glad for the day mercy and truth met in your life? And salvation was the end result. And in that day, Joshua made a covenant with them, and because he gave them mercy, they were required to use their hands and feet and their legs. Amen. To be hewers of wood and drawers of water. Joshua said, you're going to do this for the house of my God. And there was no option given to them. That was the terms of their covenant. And so they were the Gibeonites. But in the days of David, that crowd had so fallen in love with the mercy and the grace and the presence of the Lord, that they no longer were serving out of duty, and because Joshua forced them to, and they became known as the Nethinims, those that had given themselves to the work of God. Amen. They fell in love with the water. They fell in love with hewing wood and hauling water. And David said, we need them to join the Levites. They're not looking for position and accolades and pants on the back. Amen. They just simply want to get to the water, draw some water out, and bring the water in so the people of God can truly worship God. Amen. And what a testimony they were to us this morning. Amen. About our own duty as children of God, that we would be given, amen, to the Word of God, fill our lives with God's Word, and come into the place of worship, amen, bringing our bucket full, that, amen, the Word of God can stir us to worship and praise the Lord. Amen. And boy, they reaped some blessings and some benefits. Amen. Out of verse number 26 that we give you this morning. Amen. They found a hiding place because of the water gate. Amen. They found a hopeful place because of their service and ministry in relationship to the water gate. And then we looked at how that, amen, they found a holy place because of their relationship to the water and the water gate. Amen. And God to give all of us and to give ourselves to the Word of God. Amen. I don't care how you get it to yourself. Amen. But you need a personal relationship to the Word of God. Amen. I'm not a preaching tonight some regulated way of doing it and measuring it. Amen. Some here tonight read 5 chapters a day, some 10 chapters a day. Amen. Some read a proverb a day, some read a few psalms a day. Amen. I don't care how you do it if you only get one verse a day. Amen. But you better get something out of God's Word every day of your life. Amen. Because you're never going to be able to enjoy God's presence. Amen. Without God's Word being attached to your life. Amen, amen. And so we see the remnant that was unrelenting, and what a challenge they were to us. Now we come to Nehemiah chapter number 8. And let's look here again. We've read just several verses. And the verses that we read to you involve in Nehemiah chapter number 8. It's giving the account of the revival of Jerusalem in the days of Ezra and the days of Nehemiah. You'll understand, I believe to this point, it has been many, many years Ezra has been back in Jerusalem. And he's been trying to motivate the people to build the house of God. Nehemiah comes in on the scene in the middle of all of that. And his burden is for the walls and the gates to be erected and put in their place. When we come to Nehemiah chapter number 8, all of that seems to now have been in order for some time. Amen, the temple is there, we see the walls and the gates are there, and it just seems like a good time to be in Jerusalem and to be an Israelite and to be enjoying the presence of God. But something seemed to be missing. Amen. Something, although everything seemed to be right and in its place, Brother Tim, something is still lacking in their midst. And we read about the revival that it took all the labor and the efforts and the works that they had been doing. And my friend, it was a revival in Nehemiah chapter number 8. Amen, that brought the whole thing back to life. Amen, it's more than just walls and gates when you come to the end of Nehemiah 8. Amen, it's more than a building and a rebuilding of a temple and a religious center. Amen, all of a sudden, Nehemiah chapter 8, amen, begins to stir within the people of God a spirit of revival. Amen, and it's interesting to me that when this revival breaks out in Nehemiah chapter number 8, it is emphasized twice in Nehemiah 8. That all of this took place before the water gate. It took place before the water gate. This revival revolved around the Word of God. What really took place, amen, in this text was nothing more than a distinct, sincere, serious, spiritual reading of the Word of God. Amen. The whole revival took place and revolved around the Word of God. Now I want to go on record tonight. Now don't fall out with me. They did not pray this revival down. They did not sing this revival up. They did not serve this revival out. They simply began to, amen, line up with and get committed again to the Word of God. And I want to say tonight that if we are going to see a revival unleashed, amen, upon our nation, how many of y'all agree tonight, whether in the pew or on, amen, by way of radio tonight, you can raise your hand, amen, believe tonight and acknowledge tonight and see tonight, our nation needs a revival. Amen. Our nation needs a sincere revival. We're living in a land that in years gone by, and it ain't been that long ago, amen, in terms of human history, amen, that the fires of revival did burn in our nation. Our nation, my friend, has been through many ups and downs and spiritual lows and spiritual highs. And yet every time revival has ever come to our land, it has always been attached to the people acknowledging and reverencing and prioritizing it and elevating the Word of God in the midst of the people. That is what took place in Nehemiah chapter number 8. Amen. And we looked at several things this morning as the people gathered around the water gate. Amen. We noted several things about their relationship to the Word of God. And I want to kind of preach this out, and I've got some things I didn't give you this morning and I want to focus on for a little bit tonight. And we looked at their eagerness for the Word. Amen. This was not Ezra the preacher, amen, that called a meeting and said, now y'all show up about 9 in the morning tomorrow and we're going to have revival services. He didn't schedule singers. He didn't call in a guest evangelist to come by. It wasn't the man of God trying to lead this or even to force it upon the people. If you'll notice again in verse number 1 that all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate, and they, that is the people, they spake unto Ezra the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. I see an eagerness for the word, their eagerness. Amen. This was brought on by the people. It was the people that had came to the preacher, amen, and said, would you break out the word and the law of God on us today? Amen. You say, I don't like Brother Jeff that much. Well, if you wanted to kill me, amen, you'd probably give me a heart attack. Amen. Men of God all across this land would have heart attacks. Amen. If folks showed up at their house in the morning and said, preacher, I just came by. Amen. Would you read the Word of God to me and my family? Just read us something out of God's Word. Amen. Do you not see an eagerness there? Amen. It's like they are getting overwhelmed with a desire, amen, to hear what God has to say. Amen. An eagerness for the Word. And then let me say a word again this evening about their ear for the Word. In verse number 2, Ezra brings the scrolls out, the law of God, brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. With understanding, they had an ear to be able to hear and understand what God was saying from His Word. Now, this is not as some have tried to apply, referencing children and people being the age of being able to understand. I don't believe that's the context. I believe in my study of this. Hey, Brother A.L., there is a certain crowd that has been in Babylonian captivity, and they've been there so long. They've been void of the Word of God so long in their life and listening to the language of Babylon that they have begun to talk like Babylon. They have begun to only be able to understand Babylonian language. And now there is a man of God that has broken out the Word of the Lord. And you know this, the Word of the Lord has a very distinct sound to it. It doesn't sound like any other book. Amen. It doesn't align with Shakespeare. Somebody said Shakespeare, some of the most beautiful and valuable literature that has ever been written. And I understand the Word of God is more than literature. Amen. But even more beautiful than anything Shakespeare could have ever dreamed of writing. Amen. The Word of God has a distinct sound to it. Amen. And if you've had your ear in your life, amen, down in Babylon and listening to Babylon and caring what Babylon has to say, amen, you're not going to be able to understand what heaven's language really is. Amen. And so when this revival takes place, there is a desire to go beyond what they have heard in Babylon. Amen. Can we get something straight tonight? Amen. Can we get something straight tonight? Babylon, what Babylon says and what the Bible says are so contradictory one to the other. If you're a child of God, you're supposed to be, amen, seeking to understand the Bible, not living your life according to what Babylon says. And there was an element of that crowd, and I'm not trying to be too hard on them, Brother Gerald. Amen. After all, it was their forefathers that got them in sin and got them in a mess and brought all this captivity. That's why they was in Babylon in the first place. Amen. But there was something about, amen, that crowd on that day. Amen. They began to let God mold their ear. Amen. To being able to understand what God's Word has to say. Let me give you a Bible sentence. Jesus used it in His earthly ministry, and He used it when He gave John the Beloved the revelation of the seven churches while he is in the Isle of Patmos. Y'all ready for this? Here's what Jesus says to every one of us tonight. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Not what society says, not what you watched on TikTok, Amen. Not what you found in some. Amen. God denied. Amen. Rebel that's out in this world. Amen. Oh, if you got an ear, Jesus Christ says, amen, you need to have an ear to hear what the Lord has to say. Amen. It's amazing. It's no wonder we can't get folk to understand the Word of God. Amen. They're listing all kinds of rubbish and junk and garbage that's in this world. They fill their ear with Babylon. And then a man of God tries to give Bible, and they don't understand. They don't understand even what the big deal's all about. Let me tell you something. You're the one that's got the issue. Amen. The Word of God is to be understood. He's given us, if you're saved, He's given you the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, He's given you a man of God. If you're saved, He's given you a house of God. Amen. He's given you all things you need to be able to understand. Make sure your ear is a Bible ear, not a Babylon ear. Amen. Yeah, it's good preaching, Brother Mike. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Amen. You know it's good when the preacher thinks he's doing okay. Amen. I'm convinced in this day, and I wish I could take all you young folk, amen, just take you into my bosom tonight. Amen. I'm trying to plead with you tonight. Amen. Quit listening to what Babylon has to say. Amen. Quit having an ear for what the world thinks. Amen. It's a shame that we're so ashamed of the Bible, and we're ashamed of God, and we're ashamed of the one that shamed us, because we have such an ear for Babylon and what they think. Amen. Amen. I remember being a teenage boy before I got saved. I'm ashamed of some of the things I've done. I was so foolish. Amen. I remember being so burdened about what Babylon thought about me. Amen. I remember going into restaurants. We had a Christian family. Being a Christian family, when it's time to eat, you bow your head and you bless your food. Amen. You don't care who's listening, who's watching. You could give a flying hoot. Ain't that right? I remember being a teenager. My daddy said, all right, let's bless the food. And they'd all bow their head, and I would hold mine up and just kind of look around, because I didn't want anybody in the restaurant thinking that I didn't want them thinking bad of me because I was bowing my head and praying. You know the problem with that, Brother A.L.? You know the problem with that is I had an ear for Babylon. I could hear their whispers and jeers, and I cared too much about what Babylon thought and not enough about what the Bible said. You're welcome. Amen. Amen. We got a generation that is getting eat up with Babylon. And I'm going to tell you what the end result of that is going to be. You're either going to one day, amen, have to acknowledge God. I'm preaching you young folk now. Amen. You're going to have to acknowledge that the Bible is right, and Babylon will always lead you down the wrong road. Amen. Amen. I ain't trying to be mean. I'm talking about their ear for the Word of God. If we're going to have revival, you're going to have to care about what God says. You got an ear for what God says? Can you, and all the changes, can we get honest? I'm getting away from the broadcast here. Let me stay up here. Jesse, do we have an ear that in the society we're living in? Y'all do agree tonight, there are so many things changing so rapidly. Things that have always been up, they now say are down. Things that have always been in, they say are out. Things that have always been common and moral and decent, now all of a sudden, amen, that is viewed as wrong or old-fashioned or out of touch. Well, be honest, as a child of God who tries to live my life in a relationship to that book, when all these changes start happening, sometimes, Brother Tim, I hear something, and something on the inside says, that's Babylon, that ain't Bible. Amen. I don't know why I'm picking on the young folk. Just because you saw it on TikTok don't mean it's right. Amen. You need a little less TikTok and a whole lot more truth. Amen. Somebody help me now. Amen. I'm tired of losing young folk. Amen. I'm tired of the battles that, amen, come. And it's not just here and in my family. It seems to be everywhere. Amen. There's a generation that is coming on the scene. They've been raised around the Bible. They've been raised around truth. They have been raised to have a relationship with the Word of God. And if you're not careful, the enemy, amen, wants to enslave you and change your ear. And all you can hear is Babylon and not the Bible. Amen. God, send a revival. Amen. Not only to young folk, but some of us parents, amen, need to get a hold of it tonight and say, God, give me an ear. Give me an ear that I can hear what the Spirit has to say. Amen. I don't want junk in my ear. I don't want the filth of this world in my ear. Amen. I need to be able to hear from God. I need to be able to line up with Him. And I can only do that if I can hear what God has said. Amen. Amen. Their ear. I didn't mean to bog down there. Their ear for the Word. And then there's their expression for the Word. Verses 4 through 9 shows it. Amen. They were moved. They responded in reference to the Word of God. No, if we're going to have a revival tonight, amen, we not only got to have an eagerness for God's Word and an ear for God's Word. Amen. But if we would be so blessed, amen, if we would be so blessed, do you remember what the Hebrew writer said? Today, if ye shall hear His voice, amen. Amen. If you hear His voice, amen, do you realize tonight how blessed we are to be able to walk in holding God's Word in our hand? Amen. And I know I'm not much of a preacher. Amen. Just an old sweating, stomping, slobber, slinging country preacher. Amen. I ain't got much oratory skills. Amen. I don't have the best delivery. I know I can be annoying sometimes. Amen. But you got a man of God in front of you has been in the study and been looking into God's Word to have some kind of truth to give you in your life, do you realize how blessed you are tonight? A lot of times people let it go in one ear and out the other. Oh, I'm pleading tonight. Amen. In the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, I'm pleading tonight as we're live on the radio with our own community. Would to God we would get, my friend, to the place where we responded right to the Word of God. Amen. 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 God help us. God help us. I want to give you three things out of chapter number 8. You said you done give us three things. Well, I'm going to give you three more things. Okay? All right. We talked about the revival that was unleashed. Revival. Is there anybody? Don't raise your hand tonight. Amen. You answer this in your heart because God sees your heart. Is there anybody here tonight that said, boy, I'd like to see revival unleashed on my life, my family, and this church? And I tell you, there are some things only lining up with the Word of God can do. I want to show you three matters, three areas of revival. Now, I could probably give more than three, but we're limited to these three this evening. These are the burdens of my heart. Amen. Are y'all ready for this? Amen. Number one, amen, only God's Word can bring a revival of togetherness. Let me say that again. Only God's Word can bring about a revival of togetherness. We're at the Watergate in Nehemiah chapter number 8. Listen to how the verse begins again in verse number 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. Do you see it there? Amen. They have been in a work. They have been, amen, spread out all across the city. And they've been spread out into the temple and the tabernacle. And my friend, they've been on the hillsides and the valleys. Amen. They've been rearranging all and repairing all that needs to be repaired. Amen. But now we read that, amen, the people come together. They assemble themselves. The Bible uses, it uses and is this phrase to express their unity. They came together as one man. Thousands, some say that, some say there was upwards likely to nearly 50,000 people in the street there beside the water gate and when this revival broke out. And yet of the 50,000 that are there, amen, they are there as one man. They are there in a show of unity and union. Amen. Oh, God, help me preach this tonight. Amen. I wrote this down, the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is what brought them together. You got Nethinims to Kohites. You got priests and Levites and Nethinims. And, amen, you got, amen, average Joes. You got rulers and princes and governors. Amen, you've got scribes. You've got Nehemiah, the Tirshatha, the governor. Amen, you've got all sorts of men and women and families that have different backgrounds and yet they are able to stand together at the water gate as one man. Why? Because they found a unity in the Word of God. Amen. A unity in the Word of God. Five times, I noted it even this afternoon. I underlined it in red pen, so I made sure I got it right. Five times in Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 8, we read the phrase, y'all ready for this? All the people. All the people. Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, what is the big deal about this? Let me see if I can get this preached out here. You do understand they've been going through a building project. Do you know what happens on building projects? People get aggravated with each other. We got we need marriage counseling over here. Amen. People get aggravated with each other. People have fallouts. Amen. You get in a building project, there's going to be personal grievances. People show up at the job site one day and they woke up on the wrong side of the bed and they're going to tell you something you don't want to have to hear. It just happens. Everybody with me? There's a lot of things going on over the last several chapters and even all the way back in the book of Ezra, there's enough personal grievances to keep this crowd divided the rest of their days. How in the world then can they come together as one man? The only way they can do it is that their fellowship and unity has to be around the Word of God. Some of them things that Ezra's going to read to them, Brother Mike, there's going to be laws of God like them debts people owe you, you got to let them go. Amen. Them grievances, you got to show some mercy. Come on now, where we get all that? We don't get that from our own human nature. Our own human nature, amen, wants to hold the grudge and be bitter. And my friend, hold on to some kind of offense as though we have been done so wrong that there's no way we can fit in with the people of God. Can't worship with them, can't work with them, can't serve with them. Amen. Oh, you can if you'll get right with the Word of God. You show me somebody bitter and offended and, my friend, out of sorts with the whole of the congregation, I'll show you somebody who ain't right with the Word of God. Amen. Yes, amen. You say, preacher, you act like you ain't ever... I've been offended and personally grieved in a lot of ways. And these times, my old flesh wants to say, that's it, I'm done. Then you get your nose in the book, and somehow the Word of God always settles your heart down. Amen. We're so foolish in this day. We label people with names. If they hurt us, we attach labels on them. And if they was if they treat me that way, it must be they ain't even saved. They ain't even saved. Are you serious? Not even saved because they done you wrong. Well, next time you do somebody wrong, maybe somebody say they doubt you're saved too. Come on now. Amen. Just because you've been offended or wounded or got a personal grievance. Amen. Preacher, how do I get over that? Amen. Get in the Word of God. And don't get in the Word of God to justify, amen, and only say grievances and offenses. Amen. Get in the Word of God for your own personal edification and let it help you and minister to you and understand. Amen. We can still have a revival of togetherness around the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I feel like we need to preach right there. You agree with us in this day, the days we're living. I'm speaking about our country now. Amen. I got to quit, but I don't feel like quitting. The last 2 years, all the divisions and the wedges that have been driven among our nation politically and how people see COVID and the health crises and politics and economies and all the wedges that they're shoving down. I promise you, everybody look up here, I promise you all that division is not from God. One of the dangers I'm seeing in our day is that spirit of division that is plaguing our nation. If we're not careful, we'll let it creep into our church and in our own personal lives. And we will allow the God of this world to do His divisive work in our life when all the time God has the answer, and the answer is through the Word of God, we can have a revival of togetherness. Amen. Amen. And so the Word of God helped them lay aside whatever had gone wrong. Amen. It brought them together. Y'all, can y'all handle another? Amen. I don't know if I can. Amen. Let's try it, all right? Not only revival of togetherness, but verse 5 and 6, I noted a revival of thankfulness. Ezra has been doing nothing more than reading them the Word of God. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, verse 5, for he was above all the people. That doesn't mean he was a big shot. That means he was on the pulpit they made, and he's speaking out to them from that elevated place so that they can hear. He's on the same spiritual ground as they are. When he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. I see here that reading the law of God seems to have excited Ezra. So he gets overwhelmed with the God he is reading of. See, he reads the law of God. He's reading what Moses has penned down. And we can go through it tonight, those opening five books of the Bible. Amen. And especially the book of Deuteronomy, how, amen, it reveals our God is a holy God. He's full of mercy. He's full of truth. He's gathering us together under His wings. He's the God that knows the secret things. He's the God that is our victory. He's the God that's leading the way. He's the God that promised, I've made a covenant with you and I'll never break it. That you are my people and you are loved in me. Amen. I believe Ezra, he'd read a little bit in the law of God and something on the inside, amen, began to stir. And the Word of God said in verse number 6, that Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. In other words, he began to be overwhelmed with, amen, what the Word of God was revealing about his God. Amen. Now as Ezra gets stirred about this and passionate about it, it seems as though it breaks out in the people on the same way. The Bible said that as Ezra blessed the Lord, Ezra got blessed and blessed the Lord. Amen. Began to just praise. I don't know what he said. Amen. He must have said something like, boy, ain't he great. Boy, ain't he a great God. Boy, imagine where we'd be had it not been for the Lord. Do you see? He promised us some things that even though we went astray and wound up in Babylon, it's God that brought us back. I can see him magnifying the mercy of the Lord, how that God had given them the strength to build it, and God had restored all these things that, amen, a second time that they did not deserve. And Ezra just says, ain't God a great God? People said, amen, amen. And they bowed down on their face and they began to worship and adore and to be thankful to the God that the Word of God is magnifying to them. And I remind you tonight that we need a revival of thankfulness. In the last days, Paul said, the characteristic of the last day, that my friend men would be unthankful. Amen. And I'll eat your dirty socks if you say, amen, that ain't so this evening. It is so. Amen. We're living in a generation of ingrates. Amen. A generation that is unthankful for the things that God has done. Amen. But can I remind you, he's everything he said he was. He's everything the Word of God. You've read in the Word of God that he declares about himself. He is faithful. He is holy. He is gracious. He is long-suffering. He loves you. He loves you. Amen. Friend, he's good to us. Amen. He's a God that's higher than any other God. Amen. The one that he said about himself in his own word, I am the Lord. I change not. And beside me there is none other. That is our God. If you get your nose in the book, go reading about all that. Amen. You know what it'll do for you? To begin to stir you and revive your thankfulness. Amen. Not only who he is, but what he's done. Amen. Boy, there's a lot of things I could say right here. Ain't you thankful for the Word of God and how it stirs us? Amen. When's the last time you just got overwhelmed with gratitude? Amen. Amen. All I can tell you is myself, riding down the road yesterday morning, a song came on. I just got overwhelmed. I don't cry a lot. I got crying going down the road just saying, Lord, you should have been done with me a long time ago. I'm a nobody. I don't deserve anything. And you have been so good to me. And I just was weeping and overwhelmed saying, Lord, thank you. And for about 10 minutes, all I did cry and just say, Lord, thank you. Bless your holy name. When's the last time, and I'm not saying I'm the standard, I'm not the standard of that, but when's the last time you got overwhelmed with just thankfulness, being stirred in your heart? The old timers used to call it, Brother Jerry, the can't help it. You ever had the can't help it? Amen. You just can't hold the tears back. You can't keep the arms down. Amen. You can't stop the praise from flowing out. You know what that is? That is an overflow of the Spirit of God and the Word of God being poured into our life, understanding who and what God is. There's a revival of thankfulness and a revival of togetherness. Can I give you one more? Amen. I'm going to anyway. All right? Verse number 9. Down through verse number 12, there was a revival. The Word of God brought a revival of tenderness. Again, Ezra did nothing more than from the morning, whatever time he started in the morning, until the midday, he did nothing but read the Word of God. That's all he did. Until he got so overwhelmed, he couldn't help it, Jesse, and he began to bless the Lord, the great God. They all break out in praise. I believe they praised a while and he'd read a while. And they'd praise a while and he'd read a while. And they'd praise a while and he'd read a while more. He read it distinctly and all of a sudden there's this move that begins to break out across the congregation. When we come to verse number 9, the Bible said, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, the Levites, that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. Why'd they say that? The Word of God said, for all the people wept. Now listen to this. when they heard the words of the law. Brother Bob, Ezra wasn't reading them the Psalms. He was reading them the law. You know how heavy that is? You do know what the law is, don't you? The law was given to show us all our sin, all our failures, and was a schoolmaster teaching us right from wrong. Ezra picked, now they asked for it. They said, go get the law of Moses that God commanded to be given to Israel. Read us the law. And he got the law out and read it to them. And the longer he read, the law of God, sooner or later, they're going to be confronted with their own personal sin. Is that right? The law of God, not the Psalms now. We could read the Psalms and we'll say, amen, amen. We'll shout, we'll glory, hallelujah. Thank God, amen. And we ought to. But Ezra read to them the strongest portions of Scripture that exposed them for what they were. Their response is absolutely astounding, and it shows to me what real revival, I believe, is. They did not respond in toughness, but in tears. There was not a callousness on their heart that said, no, I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to let that penetrate me. Rather than callousness, they respond with crying. Do you see the tenderness that is being revived in them? Oh, God, help us. We need a revival where God's people get tender to the things of God again. And the only way we're going to have a revival of tenderness is going to come through us allowing the ministry of the Word of God to make an effect in our life. You got to be willing to hear, yes, the Psalms, but you got to be willing to hear the law. You've got to be willing to be exhorted, but you've also got to be willing to be rebuked. And when Ezra read these, and Ezra just in the reading of it is revealing their sinfulness and their failures, as they're listening to that, they've got to allow the Word of God to put a hedge around their spirit, so they don't get aggravated with the man of God because he is exposing their own error of their own way. Amen. You say, preacher, surely people don't do that. Well, I hope you never have to learn otherwise. I've had people get, so mad. I'm not talking about being questioned. I'm fine. Anybody can question me on anything. But when they come and they're red face and steam's coming out of their ears and they're ready to physically fight you, you know what that's a sign of? That is a sign of a very, very hardened heart that is in need of a revival of tenderness of their heart that the Word of God can penetrate into their life and their soul so that they can know the blessings of God again. Amen. They're so tore up. This has never happened. This has never happened to me. This is why I think this is one of the greatest revivals. And I've got to quit, but I think this is one of the greatest revivals you'll read about in the Word of God, because they were so tender and broken and tore up about their sin that the Levites and their spiritual leaders have to come to them and say, okay, you've wept and repented of your sin long enough. It's time to move on. Ain't that amazing? Maybe y'all don't think that's amazing. To me, that's amazing. I'm not complaining. I'm speaking from my heart today. In 20 years of pastoring, I guess what burdens my heart is how much lack of tenderness and true repentance there really is. And if I'm being transparent, I would even have to say yes, even in my own life. We're so hardened in these days. We're jaded because of this, that, and the other, and the culture we live in. Can I say I still believe God's Word is right? God's Word is holy. God's Word has been given to edify and correct and show us where we need to get right with God. And if we'll allow that book to tender our heart, we can see a great move of God. Y'all believe that? Look down there, and I'm done. Notice when they had this revival of tenderness. Now they come to them and they say, now, mourn not nor weep, verse number 9, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Ain't that amazing? You know what happened when this revival of tenderness, when they got tender to hearing the Word of God, tender to the things of God, they got the strength of their joy back. Amen. So much I could say, but may God give us a revival. Unleash it on us. You know, the next couple nights, Brother Philbeck's going to be here. And boy, he's a good preacher. He's, in my opinion, as good a preacher as there is in all of America tonight. He helps me every time I hear him. He is, he would be like a modern day John the Baptist, in my opinion. Just a prophet, a man of God, a preacher. And I love him. I love to hear him. But you know, we could get him to come for 30 nights in a row. And if we weren't willing to get right with the Word of God, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if it was him or Preacher Wells or Preacher Raines or Brother Joe or whoever it is you like to hear preach. If we weren't willing to allow the Word of God to do a revival work in our life, it wouldn't matter. Would we make up our mind tonight? I'm speaking as pastor now, and some of y'all ain't members, but I'm still your preacher. I'm preaching to everybody. Wonder what would happen if we'd make up our mind tonight. I'm going to be in church the next 3 nights to hear what God has to say through His Word by the man of God who's praying and laboring and having something from God to give to my heart, my family, our church. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to make sure my heart is tender to receive everything God has for me. I know it's only 3 nights, and who knows what God would do if we could get 3 nights like that. Ain't no telling what God maybe could do. Maybe God helps some families. Maybe God would help some parents. Maybe the Lord, amen, could send revival to some of our homes tonight if we'd just be willing to allow the Watergate, the Word of God, to have a position of prominence in our heart and our life. Ain't no telling what God could do. Amen. But now if you're going to come in and say, I got her all nailed down, I ain't straightening nothing out, I feel good about where I am, then what would be, and I'm not telling you don't come, you need to come anyway. Amen. Because Brother Philbeck probably will preach against that. But if that's how you're planning on coming in, what's the use of even being a part of all of this? We need a revival in these days. We need a move of God. We need a water gate we can come in and out of. Get some help from the Word of God. Y'all believe that? Amen. Well, we're done, all right? We're done. I'm not even going to give invitation. I'm going to let you go home pondering it and thinking on it. And you can do business with God in a personal way sometime before you go to bed. Let's all get our hearts set on this now. And let's get right. Brother Lee Davis, y'all have heard me quote him several times, many times. Brother Lee Davis, he's dead and in heaven in glory with the Lord tonight. But Brother Lee Davis said, amen, if you want to be right with God, get right with your Bible. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. You will never be any more right with God than you are this book. And this book will tell you what you need to go home, clean out your life, clean out your home, clean out your closet, clean out your stereo, clean out your DVD box, clean out, amen, clean out your heart, all them spirits and, amen, things we got going on. Amen, the Word of God will show you how to get right with God. And so get right with the Word and you won't have no problem getting right with the Lord. Amen.